need to meet so we can discuss grounds related issues for the upcoming season. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 6 of your notes. The Doctrine of Biblical Cosmology. Instructions are given us to us in the Word of God with regard to our approach to the Word of God and our intake of Bible doctrine. One example of that is in James 1:21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness. This putting aside is rebound. Rebound puts aside all of the dirt related to STA activity on the part of the believer and all that remains of wickedness. The whole shebang. Rebound is great. It's phenomenal. Only if you use it. And if you use it, then you're the beneficiary. Your STA is always, or at various levels, trying to gain control and usurp the real you and keep you out of fellowship and running under your sin nature. There is a whole gamut of activity that constitutes STA behavior. Therefore, we are to put aside all of this, and in humility, we have to humble ourselves. In humility, receive the word implanted. The reception of the word is implanted in the soul, in the human spirit, which is able to deliver or save your souls. From what? From the sin unto death and a bad time at the Bema seat. That's what it's designed to deliver you from as a believer in the big picture. And every Bible class and every opportunity you have, you need to be here, you need to be in fellowship, stay in fellowship, and not be quick to anger and slow to make some comment. You will be exposed, inevitably, to individuals who will contradict what you've been hearing. It is your responsibility to stay in fellowship, use your shield, and if you need to make a comment, you've got the information, as in this topic, and you don't have to be mean. You just have to say something. And the Holy Spirit will help you. It may be just one verse that you remember that documents what we're talking about here in this doctrine. And if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together in obedience to your word so that we might grow in grace and in knowledge. Bless us with the knowledge and understanding of this particular important category of Bible doctrine. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll just pick up immediately. Presuming that, see, doctrine is taught tandem. It's that's how we do it. The subject is covered until it's finished. And if you are not here or you don't get the information, then you are at that much of a disadvantage. That's why it has been made available to every believer to be able to get this information and keep up, even if you have to miss due to whatever. You can get the information. It is your responsibility to get it, and whatever is repetitious is necessary. How many times have I reviewed Rebound? innumerable times I've reviewed this concept, because believers need to hear it. They need to have confidence in it. They need to use it every day, because there are so many things and ways that we get tripped up. We stumble, we sin, rebound, boom, you're back. And the fruit of that should be that now you are acting right, you are thinking right, you are treating others like you're supposed to. The Bible says that our Son is in constant motion over the surface of the earth. That's what the Bible says. Don't hate me for it. I am, like the prophets of old, simply reporting the information for you to understand. Now, we learned from Genesis 1 that the luminaries were put in place, and we'll go back to that a little bit in this section. The luminaries were put in place after the dry land appeared in this 24-hour period, and God covered it with plant kingdom. Then on the next day, which they weren't, was not there before, we get the luminaries. They're simply called lights or luminaries. And then they're given, and even in Genesis 1, they're not given their names, such as sun, moon, stars. That is later. Now, Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 7 makes it abundantly clear that just as water in rivers return to their place, makom, that's kind of the key word here, place, so the sun returns to its makom on its circuit over the earth. This is where we got into it. In Ecclesiastes, of all places. On all the rest of these things, except for the sun, people are in general agreement. Are they not? A generation goes and a generation comes. From Adam to the end of human history, a generation comes, is born on the scene, new people. They live out their lives, and another group comes on the scene. But the earth remains forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets. And hastening to its makom, it rises again. And then the other example of motion, blowing towards the south and turning towards the north, the wind continues swirling around. And on its circular courses, the wind returns. Now, obviously for me, there's a lot of questions there physically about what all this is exactly. But no one debates the fact that the wind's moving. Apart from generation, which doesn't deal with the physical features of the earth, it's dealing with human history. All the rivers flow to the sea. They all make their way eventually to the sea. Small streams dumping into larger rivers, and then mega rivers like the Mississippi and its watershed, all of it moving, following the natural lay of the land. All the rivers flow to the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. And of course, scientifically, that's explained under the principle of evaporation, clouds, rain, and all of that. Also, Psalm 19:6. We've got some good verses in Psalm 19 on this thing. And this is another one. It's the sun's rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit. Maybe you have heard in older days, way past generations, there were circuit riders. There were circuit preachers. they would go on a circuit and minister to little rinky-dink congregations, ride horseback. They had a specific circuit. This word is used in the Old Testament of a particular pathway where you go from point A to the end of it. Circuit riders. The ancient postal express. Pony express. Circuit riders. Following their designated course. And its circuit to the other end of them. And there's nothing hidden from its heat. Not that everything gets the same heat, obviously, but it gets heat. It depends on the circuit it's running in a year's time. And of course, another big one, Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. Joshua 10, specifically verses 11 and 13, known as Joshua's long day. There would be more daylight so that they could complete defeating this formidable foe, and they were formidable, the Amorites. And Joshua spoke to the Lord. Now, you know he's inspired. Nobody would just do this. Unless they are so impressed by the Spirit of God that they would make a request or speak to the Lord and command Him to do something, because for it to happen, God had to inject His power into the system to make this happen, or it had just been a joke, and this had never happened before, ever. This was a miracle of God overriding the natural path of the sun on that particular day. In the day the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and He said in the sight of Israel, this wasn't done in a corner. This was done so he would have a whole bunch of witnesses to this. The Israelite army, the soldiers, the people that were around him at that time heard his specific statement, "O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still. Means it stopped. It stopped. If you go out and look at the sun, when you can see it, you can detect, and now what they will say in all the literature, apparent motion of the sun. No, it's real. It's real. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped. See, they're synchronized. They are synchronized over the surface of the earth. Both of them stopped so that it wouldn't mess up things, and you would have the ability. People woke up that day on earth everywhere, and it was just flat weird. The normal timing of the setting of the sun was thrown off. Now, I don't know how it was corrected, but that's what happened for human beings. Of course, in that area, but elsewhere as well, because everybody's affected by what's the sun's doing. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? That book is actually, it's a Jewish writing. It's non-canonical. In other words, it's not in Scripture. It's not a lost book. In the sense of it is written in the book of Jasher. Why would he say that? I mean, why would this be written down by the scribe who wrote this particular the book of Joshua? Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the Jewish people had writings about things like we do, history, that was outside the Bible. It is not divinely inspired, but it doesn't mean that because it isn't divinely inspired, there isn't accurate information in a book like Jasher or the Jewish writing that everyone realizes is Jewish derivation, is the book of Enoch. Enoch didn't write it. Don't misunderstand me. It's just called the Book of Enoch. Jasher sounds like a proper name. It's really the Book of the Upright. That's what the book Jasher is, from the word Hebrew word the upright, the spiritually upright. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. They got a double day, almost a double day in one day. They got almost a double day of sunlight. Because obviously, if the normal day had gone, they would not have completed the task, and the Amorites would have regrouped, and there would have been a lot more, and all the rest of it. So, it enabled the Israelites to complete the defeat of... So it was done for a practical reason in the book of Joshua and the conquest of the land. And the Amorites were a really big deal. Now, in this connection, it is said by some that this is poetic language. One, it isn't poetry. There's no poetry here. This is narrative. Flat out historical narrative. So I know the difference between poetry and narrative. You got poetry all over, say, in the Psalms and elsewhere. But this is not poetic language, number one. And even if it was, it's talking about something literal. As we saw in our previous class, God has made a tent for the sun. That makes zero sense in the view of astronomy that pervades the Copernican system with the sun way out there. What's the tent? Makes no sense. It's just, please tell me what the tent is. It's not the universe. It's not the universe. The ever, what they say today, ever expanding. The Big Bang didn't quit, apparently, to them. It's just continuing to expand. Logically, if there was a Big Bang, why would it stop? It would continue to expand and expand and expand. That's their view of creation. We've already seen in our study the earth was here first. By perhaps a considerable amount of time, considering the time lapse between the creation of the earth and the first flood, there's a second flood. But the first flood, see, God, and the second flood, he said, I will never destroy the earth again with a universal flood. He said that in his word. But that was his second attack on the earth there at Noah's flood. Also, the terminology, which in the conservative, evangelical, hermeneutical textbooks, which we taught our men, hermeneutics, there was never the term ever came up that is used by some, a lot actually, phenomenal logical, to try to turn this on his head and say, well, it's just the opposite. The earth stopped. Because it was one or the other. It was the sun. I place my trust and faith in direct statements of Scripture. The whole Scripture stands or falls on one verse, one statement. Assuming we get it right. The whole Scripture stands. There was no attempt, because these people could not understood the universe that we have been sold on. By the way, prior to Copernicus, I studied this, and I loved history in school. I really liked history. It's about people and things. I know I got a lot of false stuff too. But I liked history. I liked studying the ancient empires. In particular, I liked ancient history. It was just me. Peoples and the different empires and kingdoms and stuff. I ate that up. I always got A's in that. The thing is, prior to the Catholic Church signing off on the Copernican system, in particular the Jesuits, and then the Vatican and all this business. Prior to that, the Catholic Church taught people that the earth was geocentric physically, and that the sun was going around it, but it was a ball. Where did they get that? They got that from the Greek philosophers that the Catholic Church was enamored with them. They almost canonized these guys, like the Aristotles and the people like that. And so the Greek guy who came up with this brainstorm that the earth was a ball sitting there, not moving, so much so good, but it was a ball, not good, and that the sun was running around it. That's what they believed before they flipped it and had the sun running around the earth running around the sun. Before they sold that idea to the nations, I mean the top people. At first they were very resistant to it. They had their emissaries out trying to present that they were laughed at because these people were round earthers with the sun running around it. But eventually it became the viewpoint. We call the view, the pre-Copernican view, the Ptolemaic astronomy. Ptolemy, a general of Alexander, and it was during that time this was developed. Because prior to that and everywhere else, and certainly at the time Moses wrote and Joshua lived and so forth and so on, they all believed, whether it was Babylonians, whether it was Egyptians, you can go around and do your own research, they were all believed the earth was flat. Now, they had different little makeups of the way it looked and its shape and everything like that. After all, Alexander was trying to find the edge of the earth. And late in the history, people were afraid if they went out there far enough, they'd find it and fall off the edge, which is completely stupid because God put a wall up so it'd hold the water, like we do a dam. So phenomenological, and I saw the Catholic writings on this and their position papers. See, they're trying to play both ends. They're trying to say, oh, the Bible is the Bible and it's the Word of God, but over here we got to do phenomenological. And they word it real well and they put it all together in this thing, this document. I read it online. That was their view. But certain of the reformers, back then, everybody wasn't on board with this. People just didn't all jump on board overnight. They were brought up in a culture where they mostly thought it was flat. The last major nation to sign off on this was China. You know, they were always isolated and out there and not much contact until, you know, time of the British Empire. They were over there in their own little so-called world. But the Jesuit missionaries came. They bought into this. So eventually, all the top brass of the nations bought into this view that we were sold from day one in a million ways in our upbringing, in our exposure to our civilization. It was inescapable. And it is to this day. They never stop. They are ramping up this thing because this is out. This is out in the open. It is, as someone in my congregation told me, of the three things they most want to suppress as public information, particularly on the web, is number one, flat earth. What? It's so crackpot. Why are you worked up about that? Number two is 9/11. That robust steel buildings, not two, but three, collapsed as a result of gasoline fire. Never has a steel building fallen in that fashion as a result of a fire breaking out up in one of the high stories. Ever. Check out the Madrid Towers. They burned from the top to the bottom, and guess what was left standing? The steel superstructure. You know what it takes to melt the steel core of these things? These buildings had 47 pillars in the center, 4 inches thick. And if you go online and look at the pictures, it's boom, 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 boom. That's the narrative. That jet fuel from two planes took this down. And we were dumb enough, a lot of us, to buy it. Use the brain God gave you and common sense. Now, there's a whole bunch of architects and engineers right now that are trying to get this thing completely reopened. This country would collapse if the truth came out on this. And this, too. This country, as well as a lot of other places, would be people, so many people would be discredited and be criminals. And this, just think of what the scientific, how the scientific community would be blown apart if this was revealed and people caught on big time, and some are. But you take a lot of abuse for this. Advancing truth in time. I don't care who you are. Some journalist who gets onto something that's really hot, they're after this person. He wind up dead. He could have committed suicide. They're playing for keeps. But I believe that if you stick around doctrine and hold fast to the word of truth, like you do on your subject of salvation, anything else that you wouldn't budge on for anybody, no matter what they threatened you with, this is going to come out in the open. The Bible says God is going to expose this. Break it down. Pray in that regard so that it will help people to open their eyes. So, Joshua told the sun to stop. Well, if the earth is spinning, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Look at it. The people of antiquity, the ancient people, the ancient civilizations, they weren't dummies. I mean, yeah, paganism and all that. But I mean their ability to build things, their ability to do math, their ability to... They did a lot of interesting inventions. There may be some we don't even know about. There's some building projects they did. We still don't know how they did them. So these people could have had this explained to them if it was the way you and I were raised up to believe. It could have been explained to them very simply. They can deal with all the details. They can work out more details. As time advances, man does investigations of things. I mean, there's good science where he's out here studying, you know, the animal kingdom, the whatever, the human body, the human cell, the atom, all the rest of it. They could have added information, but to get the basic picture, a grade school kid can get it. You just start them off real simple, explain it, and away we go. They couldn't have understood that back then. That is easily shot down. They had maps of the stars and the planets. The so-called planets. They had the constellations. They had it all. They had all that. They studied this stuff. This was revealed to them. The plan of God was portrayed in the alignment of the stars in the various constellations. And there's a lot of them out there. How did they know that? It was revealed to the early patriarchs before the flood. This was carried over, and of course the pagans took it and ran off with it, with all their pagan names and all their pagan stories. Because Satan likes to hijack stuff. He hijacks stuff. Sells people a bill of goods. Because they don't want to believe in God, and they do not want to believe in the Word of God. In my own development with regard to this doctrine, this is where my ears were pinned down. You believe in literal grammatical interpretation of Scripture, and here you got a verse, Jack. So I had to go do my own journey and my own study, because I couldn't just jump up and say the earth's flat. There's no way I'm going to do that. I have to have all these other details in place to make sense of, well, then what about the sun, moon, and stars and all the rest of it? What about so-and-so? Once I got this with the dome over it and all the other factors, then I began to make my transition into the understanding of this, and I could look at the Word of God here in this instance and in the Ecclesiastes passage and in the one coming up in the day of Hezekiah. Now, that's even a bigger miracle. The Hezekiah one is even a bigger miracle. I asked someone, what was this all about on the day of Hezekiah? Hi, that one, and this is a smart guy. I don't have a clue what that's about. You never would either, as long as you believe this other. The Hezekiah miracle was a bigger miracle than the Joshua miracle. We've not broke all, setting the context, what was going on in Hezekiah's life at this particular time. So this type miracle, I say type miracle, it affects the movement of the sun. This type miracle occurred in the day of Hezekiah, but with a twist. The sun stopped, like in Joshua's day, and went backward on Ahaz, that's his father, who was a sun worshiper. And if you're a sun worshiper, now if you have a sundial, it doesn't mean you're a sun worshiper. Okay. It's just that he was enamored, and here's a guy in the line of the kings of Judah who's a sun worshiper. You can go study Hezekiah and read about him. Ahaz, his father, had a sundial. Go to Wikipedia and look up sundials. And one of the first ones they'll cite is, it's called 10 step, and they translate it stairs, STAIRS, like walking up steps. It isn't. It's 10 steps. See, with these sundials, they could tell the time. It was before a watch was ever, quote, invented. A clock. They had sundials. They're all over the place in the world to this day. Some of them are very ancient. India, elsewhere. Open your mind to the truth. The sun not only stopped, it shifted gears and put it in reverse. Reverse. Certainly Hezekiah knew about the stopping of the sun in the day of Joshua. So he ups the ante. I'm not going to read all of 2 Kings 20, but you ought to spend some time reading the Bible. You can go home for your homework and read the Bible. This is a fascinating section. He's interacting with the great prophet Isaiah. I mean, it's one of those stories, we'll probably miss it down here in time, but it's one of those great stories. He gets himself under divine discipline. He's sick. He's got a boil or a tumor or something. And anyway, I bet his life would be fascinating to study from top to bottom. But he ends up good King Hezekiah. He ends up with all his faults and all his problems. He ends up as good King Hezekiah. He's in the good king list. Ones that did like David. And then there are all the rest of the clowns that didn't do like David. David was the pattern, of course. But anyway. So this type of miracle also occurred in the day of Hezekiah. again, but with the change, the sun stopped and went backward. And I haven't got an answer yet to how much 10 degrees constitutes in time. But it's a reversing of the sun. Nothing is said about the moon, but it certainly probably was affected as well. It went back 10 degrees. Another one that is a head scratcher if you don't understand the earth as I'm trying to teach it here. It just makes zero sense. The earth stops spinning and starts spinning backwards? No. So did the earth stop spinning and then spin backwards and then start spinning counterclockwise? No. It's goofy. Completely goofy. What are you going to say about it? All right. Moving away from the sun for a minute. We come to the moon. Another orb out there. You might do well out on your patio on a clear night or when you're out and about. You might look at the moon. Look at it when it's big and bright and there's nothing to obscure it too much. And try to tell yourself that its light is dependent on the sun. It isn't. It is a light unto itself. That's the clear, straightforward language of the Word of God. It is not a dead, blank rock out there that depends on the sun to reflect its light. Now, this study, obviously, will not explain all the phenomena associated with eclipses and other phenomena like that. But this is built into the sun and it's built into the moon by divine creation. They're as far off on this as they are the origin of the species. They are as far removed from reality as they are the origin of the species. For the origin of the species, Genesis 1, and those days, 6, 5 and 6. You can read about where everything came from. It came from our God. In his great power and ability to create what wasn't there and put it there in a perfect form without any effort on his part, because he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and everything has to work. Or we would never have survived as a species. It is not accidental creation. And neither is the way the true universe is run. Genesis 1:16. God made two great lights. This is before they got their names. Now, of course, in every language it's going to sound different. The greater light, it's called a light, right? No one debates this. To govern the day. So what runs the day? The great light, the greater light, the sun, the S-U-N. And the lesser light to govern the night. It's the primary light. Moonlight, in a given place, where you're at, away from city lights and all that business, especially in the high country, it gets really bright at night. So bright you can read a newspaper. He made the stars also. That's just, it's kind of like throw that in. And the stars aren't bigger, like they tell us the monster size. See, everything is blown out of size, out of proportion. Everything's bigger. The timeline's bigger. The universe is bigger. The bigger. Away we go. This isn't limiting God. He doesn't need it in a way to be God in the first place. But he created it, and he created it within this reasonable size. Not chaotic. Not the stuff, the propaganda machine called NASA that's putting out stuff constantly. And some of it is so ridiculous. But people are not thinking. It's like a religion. It's a religion to them. They just believe it. When they're reporting, we found this, we found that, we're going here, blah, 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 on and on and on. We're on Mars now. We got a rover running around out there. and we send photographs back 30 million miles away. And it takes 30 minutes for them to get here. You want to compute how fast that is? I saw an interview. They said we couldn't send pictures back from the moon. We didn't have the technology. What? Kissinger said that. In an interview with other Eagleburger and some of these other elitists. You couldn't send pictures back from the moon in 69? And 70 and following? So where'd those pictures come from? Some studio? It's like, I don't know why they say that. Maybe sometimes they just spill their guts. Maybe, I don't know what they do. Maybe it's like the CIA. It's a limited hangout. We'll tell you part of the truth, but won't tell you the whole story. We live in a world, people, full of damn lies, deceiving humanity. Because these people, you aren't one of these. You are not a God hater. You're a God lover, and you love the Bible, and you love the Word of God, and standing on it, you're going to stand in the face of all opposition and contradiction and whatever these fools gin up and try to fool us with. I'm not going there. I'm keeping my faith. And I'm glad to be liberated from this stuff. I was lied to too long. And I'm sick of it. No answers to any of these questions we pose. They just get mad or they throw out some BS. Try to change the subject. So what all they're doing to fool us, this is the last day, strong delusion over humanity coming down on them. Because as I said, if you can discredit the Bible, you got people, they're not going to go there. Those who have seen through this, though, have looked at the Bible and said, oh my gosh, it's true. They can't have it. And sell us all this fake, theoretical science. Job 31:26, I've looked at the sun when it shone, or the moon going in its splendor. The moon has a different light, a different quality of light than the sun. Not only because of intensity. Have you ever heard of moonshade plants? Plants like the moonlight? That thrive on moonlight? Moonshade. They exist. You'll pick up little tidbits as you go along. If you're looking in the right direction. Isaiah 13:10, the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash their light. We all agree that the constellations have their light. They're going to be shut off. It's going to be dark in the coming of Christ. It's going to be a blackout on this earth. And then out of the darkness is going to come the glory of Christ and all of us with Him. That will be the light. And every eye will see, because it will sweep over the face of the earth, this massive invasion of which He heads at the second advent. They're going to be shut off like you throw a switch. The sun will be dark when it rises. How do you do that? How do you shut the sun's light off? Absolutely dark. And the moon will not shed its light. Every one of these says, it's light, it's light. Not the moon will shed the sun's light. It's light. Straightforward. 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. I just said that. They are as different as two different lights that you might set up and have out wherever. They are two, according to the Bible, they are two separate, independent lights within itself. What makes the moon and sun do that? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't know what kind of knowledge has been I know it is. I know there's certain types of knowledge that has been greatly suppressed. Tesla stuff. We could have free energy, apparently. Suck it right out of the sky. Not have to have all these wires and all this stuff running around. We could have a lot of stuff, but they didn't want us to have it. The poorest civilization could have it. Country. All the rest. This is a battle for the minds of men and for their well-being. It, along with the sun, is in constant motion over the earth. The phases of the moon are the result of its mysterious makeup. Perhaps Job 26:9, he obscures the face of the moon and spreads his cloud over it. Lunar eclipses, maybe? One of my members said, we were out driving around at night, saw the moon real big, we saw clouds behind it. He says, because it was dark, I couldn't get a good picture on my phone. It wouldn't capture it. But I pointed it out to this other person. See that? How in the world do you get clouds behind this moon? And for those of you who have reported to me personally that you have seen, maybe walking the park or wherever, I saw clouds behind the sun. People have taken a bunch of photographs of this stuff and you can go look at it. 93 million miles away? I don't think so. But a lot closer, a lot closer than I think so. So we don't have the true science of all that up there. We have this fake stuff. Oh, you got a real pretty book on your coffee table. All glossy, shows the planet, shows all. These are just pictures. And by the way, you can generate any kind of computer image you want to and put it out there. Know that. What you're having problems with, maybe, is you just can't believe they could get by with this and that there are people that do this. What do you think the kind of people are that run the Vatican? And the millions and billions that have gone down that road to hell. What do you think? What's wrong? We have billions of people that believe in Allah and Allah and Muhammad and all that, and all of them that believe in Buddha and this and this and this and this and this. This is no different today. Science is where they want to grab the rest of us that maybe aren't religious, are materialists. So the moon was established for seasons. He made the moon for seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. See, the sun... Now, the sun knows... The sun is an inanimate object. The sun doesn't know anything like you know something. The sun's an inanimate object, but the sun is... So that's a metaphorical use of the sun knows its setting. It's held captive to this. And it moves accordingly on this circuit. The moon is not dependent on the sun for its light, according to Joel 2:31. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Not sticky red stuff. color of blood. Dark red. Before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, obviously, I haven't put together all of the astronomical phenomena that will herald the second advent of Jesus Christ. That's a task. Maybe someone else can figure this out. When this happens and this happens relative to a complete blackout and all the effects on the luminaries, as we get to the actual day of the second advent. Revelation 6:12. And of course, these astronomical phenomena will occur over the course of the tribulation. It's all symbolizing something relative to the coming of the Lord, the various factors involved. And this one, in conclusion, I looked when he broke the sixth seal. Seals 1 through 6 run for the first half of the trib. 7 covers the whole last 3.5 years. And it has subcategories of 7 trumpets. And they're all judgments. But number 6, I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. This is apparently a worldwide one. And the sun became black as sackcloth. Boom, dark. Made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood. How eerie is all that going to be for people on the ground observing this stuff, even if from an observatory? The moon, I got ahead of myself, but I do that. The moon radiates a different light than the sun. There are those who have used a digital heat sensor to document or point in this direction. On a moonlit night, an object will cast, when the moon's shining, just like the sun, will cast a shadow. They have checked the temperature in the light and the temperature in the shade. It is cooler in the light than it is in the shade, by a little bit. They've done it over and over. They'll go, what's this? You would expect that it would be the other way around. So there's a curiosity. Example, mood shade plants. And I gave you the digital heat detector. And that's in that subpoint E. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, make the truth clear to positive volition so we can glorify you in this area of the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen.